Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Parashat Vayetze. In our opening pasuk, following his parents' instructions, Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and headed to Haran. As the sun set, Yaakov encountered Hashem. In the words of the text, Vayifka Bamakom, and he camped for the night at that spot. As he slept, he dreamt of a ladder whose base was firmly planted in the earth and whose top reached the heavens with angels ascending and descending upon it. Hashem spoke to him from above the ladder and reiterated the promise of multitudes of descendants who would inherit the land, along with his promise to accompany and protect Yaakov and ultimately return him safely to Eretz Yisrael. Upon awakening, Yaakov built a monument to commemorate the event and named the place Beit El. Yaakov's first encounter in Haran took place at the well, where the shepherds had gathered but were not yet allowing their sheep to drink. Upon his inquiring as to why the delay, the shepherds explained to Yaakov that the stone covering the well to protect its waters from the elements was too heavy to move, and they were waiting until more shepherds would assemble so that they could move the rock collaboratively. At that moment, Rachel, the daughter of Rivka's brother Lavan, arrived to water her flock, and when Yaakov beheld her, he approached, rolled the rock off the mouth of the well, and watered her sheep. Yaakov kissed her and cried and introduced himself to her as her cousin, the son of her father's sister. She ran home and told her father, who ran out to greet his nephew. They arranged that Yaakov would serve Lavan for 7 years and in return be rewarded with Rachel as his wife. The pasuk informs us that Lavan had two daughters, Ulelavan shtei banot, shem hagdola Leah v'shem haktana Rachel, the older one named Leah and the younger one Rachel. When the time came for Yaakov to marry Rachel, Lavan deceived him and gave him Leah instead. When confronted, Lavan argued that it would have been unacceptable in his place to marry off the younger daughter before the elder. Yaakov agreed to work for Lavan for another 7 years to earn the hand of Rachel. Leah subsequently gave birth to 4 children, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, while Rachel remained barren. In the following perek, Rachel, echoing Sarah Imenu, gave her maidservant Bilhah as a wife to Yaakov, saying, "V'teled al birkai v'ibane gam anochi mimena." She will give birth to a child who will be raised at my knees, so that I too will be built up from her. Bilhah gave birth to 2 children, whom Rachel named Dan and Naphtali. Leah, seeing that she too had ceased to bear children, gave her maidservant Zilpah to Yaakov as a wife, and she gave birth to Gad and Asher. Meanwhile, Leah's son Reuven brought back Dudaim from the field, which Rachel purchased from her for the price of a night spent with Yaakov Avinu. Ramban explains that Dudaim are a fragrant flower whose aroma is very pleasing, and Reuven brought them to his mother so that she might enjoy their fragrance. The Ramban goes on to explain that while some say that these flowers are a fertility drug, that applies only to the root and not the flower itself. Reuven had gathered only the flowers, not the root, and the ensuing pregnancies of the Imahot were solely the product of prayer, not of any natural remedies. Leah bore 2 more sons, named Yisachar and Zvulun, and a daughter named Dina. And Rachel finally bore a son named Yosef, at which point Yaakov asked Lavan for permission to take his wives and children and return to his homeland. Yaakov agreed to continue to work for Lavan and accept as his wages all the brown, speckled, and spotted sheep and goats in Lavan's flocks, while the white ones would belong to Lavan. Yaakov prospered exceedingly and fell out of favor with Lavan and his sons. Hashem appeared to Yaakov and instructed him to return to the land of his fathers. So Yaakov gathered his family and left. Lavan pursued him and accused Yaakov of stealing his gods. Yaakov, not knowing that Rachel had indeed taken her father's trephim, which Chazal explained in order to prevent him from continuing to worship Avodah Zarah, Yaakov pronounced that whoever had taken them would not live. Lavan searched but did not find the trephim, for Rachel had hidden them underneath her seat. Yaakov and Lavan entered into a covenant and built a monument, which Lavan named Yigar Sahaduta, stands out as the Aramaic term used in the Torah, very unusual. And Yaakov named the same monument Gal'ed. He gave it a Hebrew name. Rav Soloveitchik explains that there are two kinds of covenants, one in which the parties agree to work together toward a common goal, and the second, which is essentially just a pact of non-aggression. There is no interest in working together to build something constructive, but there is an agreement to respect each other's independence, leave one another alone. And Lavan viewed this breed as the first type, the merging of different cultures and values, while Yaakov saw the agreement as the second type, a barrier between two families, one that would forever distinguish between Lavan's idolatry and Yaakov's commitment to serve Hashem exclusively. The next morning, Lavan parted from Yaakov and his family, and Yaakov continued on his journey, and upon his return to the land at the conclusion of the parasha, was met again by angels, just as he had been at the beginning of the parasha upon his leaving the land. I'd like to spend the remaining few minutes discussing two encounters in this parasha, one divine and one human. The first encounter is that of Yaakov with Hashem, when on his way from Be'er Sheva to Haran, he finds that the sun has set unexpectedly. The pasuk states, as we mentioned, Vayifga b'makom. Literally, he encountered the place. Chazal interpret the phrase midrashically, explaining that Vayifga is a lashon tefillah, an expression denoting prayer, and that Yaakov at that moment instituted tefillat arvit, the evening prayer. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that Hamakom is a reference to Har HaMoria, the site of Akedah Yitzchak, and the designated site of the Beit HaMikdash. This drasha is derived from the pasuk Vayara Tamakom Merachok in Parashat Vayera. Avraham, on his way to the Akedah, saw Hamakom, the place from a distance, the place there clearly indicating Har HaMoria. Yaakov's initiation of the Tfilah of Arvit concludes the institution of the cycle of daily prayers by the Avot. Avraham had instituted the Tfilah of Shacharit when he arose early in the morning to pray for the city of Sodom. Yitzchak had instituted Mincha, the afternoon prayer, as his bride Rivka approached from Haran, and Yaakov now instituted Ma'ariv. Rabbi Sachs, Zichrono Levracha, in a beautiful insight, notes that while the words of each of the tefillot are identical, the fact that each was instituted by a different personality reflects differences in the character of the tefillot. Avraham represents morning, the fresh dawning of a new religious experience. Yitzchak represents afternoon, transition, the courage of continuity. Yaakov represents night, the religious experience of encountering God through challenges. Avraham is originality, Yitzchak continuity, and Yaakov tenacity, holding on to God while struggling with a difficult reality. Furthermore, the nature of each prayer is unique. Avraham initiated the quest for God. He sought him out to stand in his presence. Yitzchak's prayer is a sicha. It's a dialogue representing the religious experience as a conversation between God and man. And Yaakov's prayer is very different. As Rav Hirsch explains, his mind is elsewhere. As he's traveling, he's thinking about Esav, from whom he is escaping. And he's thinking about Lavan, whom he will soon confront. And into this troubled mind, says Rabbi Sachs, comes a vision of God and his angels. Yaakov wakes up from his sleep and exclaims, God is truly in this place, and I knew it not. So too, teaches Rabbi Sachs, none of us knows when the presence of Hashem will suddenly be made manifest in our lives. Such experiences take place literally or metaphorically at night. They happen when we are alone, afraid, vulnerable, close to despair. But it's then that when we least expect it, we can find our lives flooded by the radiance of the divine. Suddenly, with unmistakable certainty, we just know that we are not alone, that Hashem is there and has been all along, but that we were too preoccupied by our own concerns to notice him. And that's Yaakov's experience of Hashem, and his gift to us of Tfilat Arvit is to heighten our awareness of Hashem in our lives, even at the most difficult times, or perhaps especially at the most difficult of times. Armed with this reassurance of his prophetic vision, Yaakov continued his journey and he reached Charan, where he almost immediately encountered his future wife, Rachel. It was a meeting fraught with emotion. The verse states that Yaakov cried upon meeting Rachel, and Chazal teach that the reason for his tears was that he saw prophetically that he would not be buried next to her. In that instant, he envisioned a life of passionate commitment in which their united efforts would build the Jewish nation, but their relationship would be confined to this world. The Pasuk goes on to tell us of Lavan's two daughters, the elder daughter Leah and the younger one Rachel. Ve'enei Leah rakot. V'Rachel hayta yifat toar v'yifat mar'eh. Leah's eyes were tender, but Rachel had beautiful features and a beautiful complexion. Chazal teach that Leah's eyes were tender from crying, for people would say, Rivka has two sons, Lavan has two daughters. Obviously, the elder for the elder, the younger for the younger. Leah shed copious tears over the thought that she might be destined for Esav. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal explains that Leah would not accept this outcome. Her name, Leah, means weariness, to be tired out. She was worn out by responsibility. Her tiredness was what the Rav terms constructive fatigue, a product of self-assertive constructive work, a sign of power and management. Leah represents the midah of gvura. Her determination to be a mother of Knesset Yisrael drove her to realize her great dream under the most difficult circumstances. Rachel, on the other hand, means a sheep, a lamb. Rachel was the quiet woman who lived a sacrificial life, representing Midat HaChesed. Together, Rachel and Leah merged into Midat HaTiferet, the Midah of Yaakov Avinu, representing glory, harmony of purpose. Yaakov Avinu loved Rachel for her midah of chesed, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Am Yisrael would need Leah's midah of gvura to survive. It's Leah's gvura that accompanies Yaakov into the Olam HaEmet. She's the one who will be buried alongside him in Me'arat HaMachpelah. Ultimately, each sister sacrificed for the sake of the other. Rachel's great sacrifice, allowing her sister to take her place under the chuppah, stands throughout history as a merit for her children. The Midrash An Echa describes that when the Jewish people were being led into exile, Rachel appeared before Hashem and cried inconsolable tears, saying, Hashem, when my sister was led to what should have been my chuppah, to marry my beloved, not only did I not object, I gave her the signs I had given to Yaakov in case of just such a ruse. Throughout the night, when Yaakov spoke to Leah, I lay under the bed and I answered for her so that he should not recognize her voice. And I did so wholeheartedly, suffering no jealousy, to protect the dignity of my sister. If I, a mere human being, could overcome my jealousy of my sister, can you not overcome your jealousy of the false gods my children worshipped and forgive their sin? Hashem, having rejected all of the petitions of the Avot, even of Moshe Rabbeinu, responded to Rachel, Min I kolech mi bechi ve'inayich mi dima, ki yesh sachar lefu'ulateich ne'um Hashem, v'shavu me'eretz oyev, v'yesh tikva la'achriteich ne'um Hashem, v'shavu vanim ligvulam. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from shedding tears, for your exertions will be rewarded, says Hashem, and they will return from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares Hashem, and your children will return from captivity to their land. Leah sacrificed as well. According to Chazal, it was known to her that Yaakov would have 12 sons. When she was pregnant with her daughter Dinah, Leah realized that if she were to have another son, that would leave only one son for Rachel to bear, meaning that even the maidservants would have borne more sons to Yisrael than Rachel. To spare her sister the feeling of humiliation that would have engendered and would have been so difficult for her sister to endure, Leah davened that her child be born a girl, and the gender of the fetus was miraculously altered in response to her prayer. And this sacrifice followed an earlier one. Rav Soloveitchik explains that when Leah named her son Yehuda, she was expressing gratitude for the blessings she did have while accepting the reality that Rachel would always be the great object of Yaakov's love. Each sister was an individual with unique character traits that were expressed in all of their relationships, but each respected the other, working together and each sacrificed on behalf of the other for the sake of building Knesset Yisrael. May we be inspired by their example, and may Hashem's words of comfort to Rachel Imenu soon be realized. Thank you for learning together.